Previously on Modular, Bradley and Inverna made amends at the inn before confronting the council about their next moves. After denying Valdi's apologies, Inverna sees Bradley pulled back into Idle Island, where he is plagued with terrible visions of his allies.
We said we would alternate. We probably should have said which one of us would start.
Yeah, we probably should have said, it's hard to make these decisions for yourself, you know, to decide. It's pretty monumental that we wake up every single morning and are plagued with decisions immediately, Jack. It's almost an assault to our senses. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, when I get up, I find that it's a tough, you know, you can be overwhelmed by the choices of the day and what to do. So I like to get up and I like to open the curtains. And I like to stare directly into the sun. And you know what I say to the sun?
What do you say to the sun, Jack?
Hello.
And welcome.
My name is Jack Dean.
My name is Raven Walker.
And this is Modular,
the podcast where we take you through the modules written by Wizards of the Coast for the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's right, Raven. These are the pre-written stories made by the folks who made up D&D. We didn't write them, but we're here to run them for you.
And why would we do that?
Well, Raven, maybe you're a DM who is thinking about running a particular campaign. You want to get a feel for how it plays out. Maybe your player's already been in this particular campaign. You want to reminisce on the good old days. Maybe we're rapidly running out of track for one of the most beloved characters of the podcast. And you're like, what is going to happen to Bradley? You're not going to find out in this episode.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to find out now. You'll have to hold on to your pants a little bit for that one. But y'all should be warned. Each of our episodes will take on a part of these pre-written adventures. That means there are major spoilers for the key plot points of each story that we are running. And right now, we are running Divine Contention. So if you don't want any of these spoilers, scram!
And there is just one more warning we should offer them.
That's right, Jack. Modular is not a podcast for children. It contains explicit language as well as adult themes like sex, alcohol, drug use, violence, and... forgetting a lot of important things like, you know, your friends, your family, and the ever-crushing weight of doing right by everyone else in your life. So be aware of these not-so-kid-friendly themes.
That was pretty gnarly, not gonna lie. Now, without further ado, welcome to Modular.
And episode 3 of Divine Contention. It's a modular pod, it's a modular pod. So
we're going.
Yeah, I guess we don't really need to line ourselves up when there's only two.
No. I mean, do you have? Did you have a question?
I mean, I don't know if I don't really have a question. More of just like a think piece statement. This week is about little brothers.
Ooh. You know? Yeah, that's it's interesting. One of the things I said when we were talking back about Sleeping Dragon's Wake. Was that like I've never had a brother, like I've always had sisters.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's true.
And so it's interesting, like what that dynamic feels like.
It's an interesting dynamic. I have a little brother.
Yeah, so like I think there's a different. I don't know. I guess there's like I've always like it's not the case of like not having a role model because I've always looked up to my older sister,
right.
And there's been an element of that. But there is an element of like we like because we're so different,
right?
That yeah, so I don't know, I guess I don't know what it's like having the same, maybe that's just a very like gendered way of looking at it, but maybe it's different when you have siblings who are the same gender as you. I don't know if that changes anything or if that like makes it different.
I think that's a valid point to make, right? Because I think, especially when you are raised a certain way, right?
Yeah.
Based on those assigned roles, correct? So having an older sister, because my sister is older than me, and so I'm the middle child, and folks, everything they say about middle children is true.
Yeah.
We're desperate for attention, petty, and dramatic. But anyways, the difference between the relationships I have, I think I'm also not very close to my siblings. They don't listen to the podcast, so they won't hear this. So it's also different in that regard, because I don't have a very close sibling relationship. We see each other, and we're cordial, but they're not like my. I'm more sibling with my friends than I am.
Yeah, it's the family siblings. Pick. Kind of thing. I'm very similar myself. I mean, weirdly, like I'm close to my older sister. I don't get along with my younger sister, but my younger sister gets on with my older sister, so she's like the glue that sort of holds it together. Which is being sibling.
It's always energy. And then as you're getting older, when you have to, you know, especially we're recording this after the American colonial celebration of Thanksgiving, a time where you typically, if your family wants to eat a bunch of food, you have to be around your siblings or whoever is in your family. Especially as you grow older, because, you know, when you're a kid, you have to spend time with these people. But as you change your perspective and spend more time with the people you actively choose to spend time with, having to spend time with those people is even more, like, I don't know, challenging.
Yeah.
In ways. Because, you know, they are, especially, I feel like I don't chat about my siblings that often. So it's interesting to think about, this week is about siblings.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
And Sly, you are a sibling, right?
Yes.
What a segue, am I right? You are a sibling to the Bradley Copper, and you have been charged with gaining an audience with Never Ember. And thankfully, instead of having to travel all that way and embark on that journey, you have been transported right outside of Castle Never. You look up and you see the tall, gleaming towers. It's truly almost a feat of engineering. It's a beautiful castle. But you know that it's time for you to go and do what you've been tasked with. As a younger brother, and I feel like, and I feel like this is true for younger sibling dynamics, you want to make Bradley proud. And you know everything that Bradley has done in this effort to keep Leilan safe.
Go ahead. I guess there's also an element of, like, asking for help is, like, at this stage where Sly is so desperate, it's so desperate for Bradley to just stop, man. Just stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Let someone else pick up the torch. So this is, like, there's a lot riding on this.
And you have a chance to help make that happen. But before you can make your way fully inside of the castle, you do notice two humans perched right near the door. As you run up, you see these humans closely turned in towards one another, trying to have a hush-hush conversation. But you get the feel, if you were to run by and crane in a little bit, that you could hear what they're saying. So give me a little bit of a perception check, and we'll see.
Hell yeah. Okay. That is a 16.
Oh, yeah. So you see, and like I said, you see two humans. These are the most human-looking humans you've probably ever seen. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just look like generic men.
They're like a Bill or a Chad or, you know.
Yes,
like,
yes. They're very generic-looking men.
A John, maybe?
The taller one, he has a higher-pitched, a bit of a nasally tone. Zalti, I'm telling you, going at it overly confident like this is just absolutely not the way to go. You know, we don't always have to follow your impulses. If we were always quiet and careful like you recommended, we wouldn't get anything accomplished. This is the shorter human male facing his friend. It is imperative that we obtain the security that the Lord seeks. So you're overhearing bits and pieces of this conversation, and it sounds like perhaps maybe they are also seeking to get some type of security assistance from Never Ember. So do you approach them?
Yeah, I think I'm going back and forth now, because on the one hand, it's so urgent. But then on the other hand, like if I can help them, they can help me. Scratch my back kind of thing. So yeah, I think I'll go up to them and be like, couldn't help over here, guys. You seem to be having some issue.
Hi. Yes, there. We are seeking to also, you know, obtain an audience. It seems as though you're here for some type of business.
Yes, absolutely. Same as you.
Perfect. Zalti, do we trust? Should we divulge our mission to this stranger? By the way, I'm Daylaws. It's a pleasure to meet you. He sticks out his hand for you to shake. And this is my comrade, my close brother in arms, if you would so to speak, Zalti. Daylaws, the formal introductions, I don't think they're necessary. I think we should proceed to Never Ember with utmost haste.
Well, hold on. I mean, first of all, pleasure to meet you guys. My name's Cooper, Sly Cooper. Surely, if all three of us go, that would lend a little bit of credence to what we're talking about, right? I mean, what do you guys want to see him about?
And you can see that Daylaws is the wheels are turning in his head. See, Daylaws thinks too much. I'll just go ahead and tell you what we're here to do. You see, we have been charged with and by our Lord, our personal Lord, of obtaining security for the road to Leilon. I'm sure that you have heard there's plenty of for lack of a better description, crazy fuck shit happening with all of these cults, dragons, you name it, with the road to Leilon. And it's in our best interest to secure it and make it safe for travel. That's what we've been charged to do. We are going to try and obtain this from our good Lord, Never Ember. And if you think that your goals align with us, then perhaps we can make this a group effort.
Can I roll just a quick little inside check to see if he's on the level?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's just take a quick look. That's pretty low. I've got a thing. What do I? Reliable talent. So that's a 10.
Okay, so you and I envision that Sly probably is you know cracking his eye at Zalti and looking at him real close. He's being earnest. Telling the truth, at least as much of the truth about this one part as you need. Like, he's being earnest that they are here to obtain security for the high road. So
yeah, he's all on level. No, go ahead. Well this is a fine chance. I'm here for the same thing. I'm from Leilon.
Zalti, it appears as though we should obtain and take part with what this with Sly can offer us. No? And Zalti nods pretty sternly. It's always in our best interest to combine efforts, and I will tell you this, Sly. We must be honest in this part of our task. And Zalti gestures behind him, and off in the distance at the docks, you can see that there are two large ships. These are our boats. We traveled here from Leilon to the Leilon area to obtain this security. As I let you know, we are aware of the issues that plague this region, and everything is not what it seems with us. And it's important that you know that even our facades are not completely honest.
Oh.
We're here on behalf of Jarl Axel. And we are part of a larger faction of Drow. But for the sake, and they're looking over their shoulders to make sure that everything is quiet. For the sake of keeping everything calm and quiet, we do have disguises. You should know this if you're going to work with us.
Oh, well, I appreciate you telling me that. I did think you guys looked a bit too normal down the line, but
well, unfortunately, the best disguise that they had was just average NPC man. Yes, it's true. Our magic could use some stern upgrades. We're running out of disguises, so now we just get, you know, essentially the Chad and Bill job. So if you're willing to work with us still, perhaps we could take on Never Ember as a team.
Yeah, well, I think I think three heads is better than one, and honestly, we got the same goal. It'd be silly not to.
All right. And y'all just teamed up Power Rangers Go style. You are no longer a man alone in this mission. And this is I'll give a little side note for DMs that are going to run this as normal. This is not how this mission is set up, but we had Sly going to Neverwinter to begin with. So the beginning of this has been altered and retooled slightly to make it fit for our narrative. So that's just a side for the DMs out there. So as you all rush through the main doors at the Castle Never, you are immediately thrown into this great marble hall. There's a red carpet rolled out before you, and as your eyes follow this red carpet, you see Lord Dagult Neverember sitting at the end in his throne. He has on beautiful shining plate armor, a blue cloak. I honestly kind of always picture him as a daddy a bit. Like, he seems like he'd be kind of hot, you know?
fair, okay.
I feel like he could be kind of hot.
Is it like the power dynamic is doing like a lot of work, or is he just like pretty hot on his own?
Okay, so I think it could be multiple things here, right? It's the it's the power dynamic, it's the just the graying vibe. Silver, maybe he's a bit of a silver fox.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Like, I think he could be a bit of a silver fox. Like, he lives in the sick ass castle.
Yeah, cool. I'm down for that.
That's how I picture him, at least. So please state your reason for proceeding into my throne room with such lack of hesitation and brazen will. Who are you?
I apologies for disrupting you, my lord. We're here on behalf of Leilon. We desperately need the mighty aid of Neverwinter.
Leilon. By all accounts, Leilon should be able to defend itself. I have put many resources there, and I see that you're not the only one requesting help. Who are these two Nimrods with you?
Rude.
I think we've caught you at a bad time, and I do apologize, but I'm Zalti, and this is my colleague Delaz. We have been sent here for the same reason that Sly proceeds, to obtain some type of security for the High Road. You, as you know, the ever-pressing threats of Merkel and Talos are growing. And if we don't do something, just anything, many are at risk, not just Leilon. Well, I see. Again, you ran in, and I was getting my daily pedicure, and it really disrupted me. But as I've said, I've put many resources into the town, and it's yet to pay me anything back. I'm going to need you to lay it out for me a little bit more. Without me, without this,
well,
what's the difference?
The difference is if Leilon falls, then where next? I mean, it wasn't long ago where villages were falling like dominoes to the dragon cult. We know the danger that the worshippers of the evil gods can face, and it's only by the will of great men such as yourself that we are standing right here.
Oh, you flatter me. And not to interrupt on Sly's lovely, lovely compliments of you, but if I'll add to that, if you help Leilon, I know as myself, and I know that Delos will agree, if you help Leilon with this, your name will go down in history as being part of the remedy to this conflict. Leilon will stand and not fall, thanks to the help of your gracious and generous security in your numbers. It's true. Zalti doesn't lie. Zalti does not lie. Give me a little bit of a persuasion check.
Okay, that's 29.
oh my god. So
god, I love playing as a rogue.
Yeah. So you have inflated this man's ego. You have complimented him. You can see a small spark come to life in Never Ember's eyes with the thought of being able to go down in history as a great person and just continue furthering his own betterment. And he looks down at you, Sly. You make a great case, specifically on how that I will remain, that I'm gracious and I'm great, and you're right, I am those things. I will order my troops to secure the high road and to continue supporting Leilon. This is no cost to the town. All I do ask is that we ensure, and I assume that you're the brother of Mr. Copper, right?
I am indeed. I'm surprised his deeds have made it to your ears, my lord.
My ears hear all. And know all. Let's just ensure that he gets the success and the, how do you say, the win for Leilon, so to speak. Neither Delos or Zalti are wrong in saying that Leilon is not the only one to stand to lose anything at the heart of this conflict. Now, I must continue with my relaxation time. The troops will be there as soon as possible. You can send word to Leilon from here if you wish.
Thank you, my lord. Your generosity will be spoken of for a thousand years. And yes, if I might send word to my brother and the people of Leilon, that would be great.
That is no problem. Never Ember allows you to send a message with utmost urgency back to Leilon. What do you say to your brother, Sly, in this note?
My instinct is always to do it, like, go for Telegram. So it's like, yeah, brother, stop. made contact, stop. But no, I think it would probably be like, hey, bro. how's it going? A little bit of that, but then I've succeeded in getting us some allies for the fight to come, and rest assured that Neverwinter will send his Lord Neverwinter will send his troops with all haste.
The letter, you seal it with a kiss and you send it off to your brother. Daylaws and Zalti are standing behind you. If you remember, Sly, we do have two ships here, and I know you've been transported directly to Neverwinter, but if you need a ride, or just want to accompany us on this journey home, we can take you anywhere you wish. Where is it that you want to go, Sly?
I can't think of anywhere that besides Leilon.
Yeah, and I think you have a couple options, right? You can go back to Leilon. Mm. You can return to your position at the Wayside Inn. If you're considering the options, one would probably be more safe than the other. and what would Bradley want?
That's right. Like Bradley would want Sly to just go back to his job, 100%. Right. Just go back to that. But Sly cares too much about his brother. I can't see Sly choosing not to fight. Like, he's gone all this way to get, like, to ask people to die for Leilon, effectively.
Right,
and I can't see him doing that and going, cool, bye. Like, thanks, guys. Catch you later. Thanks for the help. So I think he'd want to go back to Leilon.
Okay, true. All right. Well, you have a pretty much free ride. Daylaws and Zalti are fast friends for you. And the fact that they're like, hey, guy, like, let's... Hey, bro. There's a lot of bro energy here. Let's just hop on the boats back to Leilon. You three journey back towards the docks, and you see the two ships that Zalti was gesturing towards earlier, but now you have a better actual look of what they look like. These are quite magnificent boats. These aren't just... Now that the basic human facade, if you weren't thinking too far into it earlier, you would question it now, because it doesn't really match with the boats that you see before you. Each of them has these like long strips of decorative cloth from the masts around the railings and the decks. You see the smaller of the two boats is decorated with blue, pink, and purple fabric. Ooh. And there's a massive figurehead at the front, and it looks like a unicorn with a massive gold horn. And this on the side, you see Twinkle on the boat. And then the larger of the two boats has white and gold fabric.
Oh, nice.
And at the figurehead, instead of a unicorn, you see a drow leaping forward, almost like it's in the middle of combat with two scimitars. And there's also a panther head above.
But that's on the side. That's the famous guy from the book. Yeah, the books.
And on the side of the boat here, you see Icing Death. Ooh. So these are the two captains of the boat, so to speak. So Daylaws approaches when you get to the docks. He approaches Twinkle, as that's the ship that he respectively captains, and then Zalti turns and boards Icing Death. So you can board either ship, whoever you feel as though you want to
spend
stay
the
night with, so to speak.
I do. I think I like the color scheme of the white and gold. I think if we get into trouble, I think people are going to attack the icing death first, thinking that it's too intense. And so I'm gonna go on the unicorn one.
Okay. So you're boarding Twinkle. So you follow. You follow Delaz onto his ship. He looks behind. Ah, yes. You want to ride with me this evening? I can show you to the quarters and ensure that you have a wonderful rest, Sly. You've been of great help to us. So he, you follow behind Delaz, and he takes you down into the cabins and gestures. If you're standing in the center of below the main deck of the ship, over there to the right, and he points to a little door. Those are my sleeping quarters. If you need anything, please let me know. I would be happy to try and provide it for you. But find anywhere you like to rest. Anything is available. My crew is quite understanding, and I will let them know that you have been a great help to us, and we are transporting you back to Leilan, and not to be a bother. So,
you have been
shown your quarters, and you are free to do as you wish, Sly. Whether it be rest, if you want to walk around the ship a little bit, or even speak with some of the crew.
I think if Sly's thinking he's going to war effectively, like there's going to be a big old fight, then he might try and find like some of the tougher members looking members crew, and might like practice, because they'd have like Sly has a rapier, which is like basically what the pirates have, right?
I would say they probably have. I could see like maybe a scimitar or a rapier, a weapon of that type, definitely. So you're wanting to do some sparring, if you will.
Yeah, just get some practice in while I can.
So the crew of the ship, they're all excelling. And now that you know that Zalti and Delaz are in disguise, I feel as though that Sly could assume and put two and two together that the rest of the crew here, they are also drow in disguise. There's some type of magic on the ship that ensures that everyone is in disguise at all times when they are aboard the ship. You find a rather beefy looking crew member who is currently sharpening his own blade while sitting on the main deck. And perhaps he would be willing to spar with you.
Yeah, I think I'll go over and probably try and be tougher than Sly actually is. Go over and I sort of nod towards his sword and go, get much practice with that thing?
It's been a minute since I've whipped it out, so to speak. That's why I'm up here sharpening my blade. You never know when something could happen. Say you. Do you get much practice with yours?
More than I'd like, but if it's a fight we're going to in Leilan, perhaps we can help each other and see what the other's made of.
Indeed. My name's Kerry.
Kerry?
Would you like to...
My name's Sly. Kerry. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Sly. And he slaps you hard on the back. I'd be willing to spar a bit if you are.
Let's do it. I'll draw my blade.
Kerry, like I said, he hasn't whipped it out in some time, so to speak. So he'll also have a rapier and make it a fun little bit of a duel. And he lurches forward at you immediately.
Shit.
Yeah, he does not wait. It's not going to be fair and even. He's a pirate. He's going to have some dirty fun. And when he after he lunges at you, you jump back and get a chance to size him up and down better, so to speak.
Mm. Yeah, I'll attack back, I think. Does he, he's clearly not taking any prisoners.
So how do you... What does Sly do when he lunges back at Carrie?
I think it'll be kind of like a probing attack. Like with like it'll kind of like see how good his defense, how Carrie's defense is, defenses, and like so it'll be a couple of like almost practice swings to see how quick his reactions are. I don't think Sly would be expecting them to connect. He's just trying to test the water first.
Yeah, he's trying to he's teasing him a little bit.
He's teasing him.
He's just being a little cheeky.
He's a little scamp.
Carrie, ugh. You are a petulant little thing. And starts taking massive sweeps at you. At this point, the thin... And I feel like the way rapiers sound when they clink together is just, like, so satisfying.
Yeah.
Because they're so, like, just aerodynamic. Both of your rapiers are making contact with one another. You land a couple of pretty... solid strikes against his own weapon and blade, and the two of you at by the end of it are standing within mere inches of one another. And Sly, you're having a lot of fun with these disguised drow. It's invigorating to think about your journey as going from, you know, just a little brother to someone that can be more than that and help Bradley and be a support to him. And while you feel this this invigorated energy coursing through you, you do hear someone cry out, "Help! Oh, help! Help! I can't see!" And from what you know, and this is the smaller of the two ships, it sounds like these cries and pleads for help are coming directly from the captain's quarters, where you saw Daylaws slink into earlier.
Oh, I think desperate, like run over there, absolutely.
Let me go and alert Zalty immediately. He's going to want to know of this. And Carrie, while you run off towards the captain's quarters, Carrie is immediately notifying, and I envision that the Icing Death and Twinkle are traveling parallel to each other.
Yeah.
And he is shouting over to get Zalty immediately. They throw a plank over, and while you run over to the captain's quarters, you can see that Zalty is running after you. It doesn't take long for you to get there. It's a smaller ship, and while Daylaws is crying out for help, you can hear the, "Please help! He sounds very stressed and overwhelmed with whatever is occurring inside. So you throw open the door, but when you look in, you don't see an attacker when you look around. All you see is, with large gusts, that Daylaws' body is being picked up and slammed down repetitively.
Oh my god.
There's nothing visible to the naked eye or to you in the room, but you can assume that there is something standing at the foot of Daylaws' bed doing this to him. What do you do?
Absolutely, just start swinging. Do I have anything that would be good for that?
I'll let you get a surprise. I'll let you get I will say that obviously you have to roll with disadvantage.
Well, could I let you? So part of, in my inventory, I've got a bag of 1,000 bull berries, and can I like grab? I assume that's for like, you know, thief shit. grab like a handful of that and throw it so I can get like an idea of like where they are? As in like, because I'll see the bits that bounce off. Or like just
that's a really good idea. So yeah, you can Sly, you can do that. And also while you're at it, after that, go ahead and roll initiative. So I'll let you throw the ball ball bearings, and then we can roll initiative.
Sure. That's a 9 on initiative, which is not great. How do you want me to roll the? Would that just be like a straight dexterity?
Yeah, let's do a dexterity. I feel like that's fair because if you're going to be throwing it, you want it to. You want it to be.
That's not good. That's a 10.
That's all right. So you kind of the ball bearings almost just kind of roll off the finger of your fingertips, Sly. They hit the floor right next to De La's bed, and as they roll into wherever this enemy is, you do know that it's generally at the foot of the bed. The ball bearings get picked up in this almost, it's almost like a whirlwind, and just start rolling around in that general area.
What the fuck is this thing?
What was your initiative?
It was 9.
He rolled 6. And your friends will be helping you a little bit in this fight.
Yeah,
because I said so.
That's good.
Because I said so.
Because I'm in charge.
Because I make the rules now, and I can do whatever I want according to Luke Job. So you and Holly, you can continue that. Or if you want to leave in me slandering Luke Job, feel free. It can be in canon on this podcast. I'm speaking ill of Luke. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not it's not slander if it's true, technically.
I mean, it is true. He said that I was the boss. So Sly, with in almost a surprise, you were able to roll those ball bearings, and you see the like I said before, them moving around in this gust of where this attacker is hitting your new friend Delaz. Right as you throw those ball bearings down, you turn around because you hear the creaking of floorboards, and Zalti is there with you. And Zalti, with what you've done, you both know that for sure it is in that area. But that doesn't change the fact that you unfortunately are going to be at some level of disadvantage still, because you can't fully see the attacker. So our friend, that's so sad because that was like a nat 20 too. Our friend Zalti is going to try and hit this random cloud almost with a magic missile, and that was a hit though.
Hell yeah, get in there, Zodi.
it's at the first, it's at the first level, so we're gonna roll 1d4 plus 1 force damage. And it's while Zalti came in with the heat, so to speak, and as he runs up behind you, he flings out a magic missile, which goes right by your face, Sly. It does land a hit on this invisible beast. However, it is not resistant. So it takes 2 points of damage. So that is something.
Mm.
But again, you don't really see any reaction from that. However, it has stopped its torture of our friend Delaz in his bed.
Well, that's good. Do I get the sense, is like, how okay is he?
Delaz is quite fine. It was more of though he was being almost surprised from his sleep. We'll say that he probably took about 5 damage from the one hit that he got. Sure. Because it wasn't like he hadn't really fully attacked him yet.
Oh, good.
But Delaws does have to stand up, so that is his action for his turn. He jumps out of bed and pulls out his short sword and stands next to the both of you, facing towards the end of his bed. And it is your turn, Sly.
Okay, yeah, I think, let's try and attack this son of a gun. It's the best I can with that. I mean, I've got the rapier out from my sparring sessions. Let's use that. And that is that's a 16 to hit.
A 16 does hit.
Am I rolling with disadvantage?
Yeah, roll
still?
With disadvantage.
Okay, so 16 hits does. That was better. That was 25. So 16.
Yep, so the 16 hits.
That's 11 damage.
So that'll be halved to, that's half to 5, right? Or is it to 6? It's 6. You round up, right?
No, I think you round down, do you?
You round down then?
Think
okay,
so?
Well then it's 5. It's 5 damage.
That's not good.
So again, it's hard for you to get that read on what's even happening because this, invisible creature is just a whirlwind around you. But you feel the wind start to move closer towards you three. And since you were the last to land a hit, you feel your own, it's almost like the front of your shirt is being grabbed. And that you are going to be swept up off of your feet. So, I'll roll that. Does a 16 hit you, Sly?
Yes, it does.
So that's going to be 12 damage to you, Sly.
Oh, that's not good.
And then you almost feel it happening again.
That's not good. Is this a melee attack?
Actually,
I don't think it would work. Actually, because I've got defensive duelist, which means, but it's invisible, so I wouldn't see the attack coming.
Yeah.
So I don't see. It wouldn't work for uncanny dodge either. So it is. What did you say? 11 damage.
Yes, the first one was 11. So you feel it start to happen again, almost, but this time you're a little bit more ready for. What's going to happen. You felt it once. So you plant your feet firm in the ground. And this time the invisible foe does not land a hit on you.
Hell
and
yeah.
Our good friend, Zalti sees the, how you just were hit. And it's almost like a strong smack across your face. I mean, it hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, he, seeing as though that this is a pretty beefy enemy, he's going to cast magic missile or minor. Yeah. Magic missile again. Let's do that. We're going to cast it at the third level. So let's see if it hits. We're casting a disadvantage. Ooh, and with a 9. So unfortunately, Zalti tries to hit this cloud again, and it completely misses. You see 3 missiles go flying in all opposite directions. But now you have your friend, Delaws, on his feet, and he is ready to attack as well. And he, in a similar move to you, Sly, he sees the general area, and he's going to take his short sword, roll twice, and try to attack this. And it just hits.
Ooh.
So he gets 1d6. Piercing damage, which is halved to 3 because he gets 6. And then 3d6 poison damage. But he's immune to poison, so
God damn.
There's no damage on that. So
this stupid fucking cloud.
Yes, and the cloud is still in front of you, Sly, and it is your turn.
Yeah, let's I don't have
because I would say, like, even with your senses, the fact that you can't see it, like, it's moving around. You can tell that it's there.
Sure. Let's attack again. Now that there's another person in melee range, I should get sneak attack?
Yes.
Excellent. Right, if I can hit. Okay, that's 10, and it's at disadvantage. Does that hit?
It does not hit.
God damn! So we're gonna miss.
So, you try to hit this cloud again, and at this point, I feel like it's normal for the frustration to be building, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're just slinging your rapier around, and nothing is landing. This invisible enemy turns, and you can feel the wind in front of you shift, and it's going to attack Daylaws again. God, and why is he rolling so good? That was a dirty 20.
Oh, no.
So that is 14, and then he's going to rear up and try to hit Daylaws again, but he misses. So he lands the first attack onto Daylaws. Daylaws is looking pretty defeated at this point. I mean, this man, he was in his nightcap and jeans. Yeah. He was ready to go to sleep.
He was in his snork me phase. He was just snoring away, just a little.
Yeah,
little
he was Hawk Shoe me. And Zalzi sees all of this happening. I can't land a hit on this thing. And with that, again, he sends out he's trying to send out Ray of Frost, but he misses.
Oh God.
This guy is not landing his attacks at all. I don't know what's wrong with me. And with that, Daylaws, you can do it, Zalzi. Don't be so down on yourself like this. And is trying to hit him again with his short sword. So let's see. Rolling with disadvantage. That still hits. So he does land. That'll be 5 points of damage on this invisible target. Good. So now it is your turn, Sly.
Well, I'm just gonna have to keep whacking this thing. I'm gonna try to. Come on, be better. All right, first one was 25.
Nice.
Second one, 14.
14 does hit. It just hits. So roll that sneak attack for me.
Hell yeah. All right. Okay, so the base damage is going to be 9. And the sneak attack is going to be, chuck a bunch of dice in there, 20!
And so you just deal out an immense amount of damage to this invisible enemy in front of you. You feel the winds shake a little bit. And it begins to almost like, you know, when the wind is like just going way, way too fast and everything in the room is moving around or outside is moving around. And if it's not tied down secure, looks like it could fly away at any moment. It leans back and it tries to hit you. And with a 23, which I think that does hit it.
Yeah.
It deals 11 damage. And it lands another hit on you, and it deals another 10 damage, or 13 damage, actually. This cloud of wind in front of you, invisible, is getting angry with the three of you. And Zalzi, I can't let this happen. I can't let this happen to us. Sends out is going to try. emphasis on try, to send out another third level magic missile, and it hits.
Come on, boy. Come on.
So let's roll it. Okay, so that's really low damage. So that'll be 7 damage to this in front of you. But don't worry, because Delos comes in with his sword again, trying to land a hit, and he succeeds with another 5 damage to this cloud.
Yes, come on. I mean, I've seen Nope. We need to get rid of this cloud so quick.
And it is now your turn again, Sly. What do you do?
Oh, I'm just going to have to keep trying to hit it. That's all I got.
There's no fault in that game.
All right, 21.
Oh, yeah, that'll hit.
And a natural 20, but obviously...
oh, yeah, do it. Wait, which one? No, do the 21. Sorry, I forgot we're doing disadvantage. So sad.
That's all right. At least I hit. So that is...
Let's see what that sneak attack looks like.
So that is 13 damage for just the base. And that sneak attack, please be good. 20, another 20. So that's a total of 33.
Sly, when you hit, and it's not as satisfying as fighting flesh, so to speak. When you hit this cloud, you feel the wind almost encircle and engulf your rapier. It's almost hard to not let it get consumed by the sheer force that is in front of you. The winds quicken. The room is almost shaking on the sea. You hear the creaks of the floorboards, and you don't really see much, but you can feel the tension around your blade dissipating in this gust of air. All Ooh. Of the items that are in this captain's hold, they're stirring about, and almost just as this sheer cloud and this force was around your blade, it's gone. Anything that was in that area is slowly floating to the ground. Now, you don't really see much at first, but when you look closer, you see a tiny little parchment of paper stuck right between the floorboards where you were fighting this invisible, almost like it almost felt like an assassin had been sent there. Now, Sly, when you look closer, what you recognize are the 3 lightning bolts representing the cult of Talos, and in sloppy ink, stop the efforts in securing Leilon at all costs.
Oh my god.
This episode of Modular was Jack Dean as Sly Copper, and Raven Walker as our DM. The story that you heard today, as well as 99% of the characters, were created by Wizards of the Coast and can be found in the module Divine Contention. Holly Lyons is our fantastic editor. Raven Walker does our brand new cover art. Our music today was written and performed by Max Hedman. You can find Max's music anywhere you listen to music. And you can follow us on Twitter at ModThePod. Join our private Facebook group at the Modular Podcast Fan Club. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the Modular Podcast. And subscribe to our YouTube at the Modular Podcast. You can also email us with any questions about the show at modularthepodcast@gmail.com. Here's a quick shout out to IAM_T_Rex, Original Happy Camper, and Lazy Man Fantastico. All of these folks follow us on Instagram. And if you want a shout out, you should follow us there too. We here at Modular are so thankful for any of the shares, tweets, recommendations, and comments that you leave here on our podcast. It keeps us going. New episodes come out every Tuesday, and until then, thank you for listening to Modular.